take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, we can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're continuing tonight's marathon. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. And we're excited and honored to have Dr. Daniel Daves. And Brother Daniel, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Thank you, sir, for having me. It's great being back. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to speak to brothers, sisters, and the world at large concerning the truth. We ask, Lord, that you'd open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts. Holy Spirit, move in our midst and speak to us. Move in our hearts, move upon us, and move us into position to where we can be effective as your servants, as your warriors, your soldiers for Christ. In Jesus' name, thank you for it. Amen.
I say amen to that. My friend, how you been since last time?
Wow. Well, we got a lot of water under the bridge, don't we? Since the last time we've really talked. I know you've been around the world, and we have also been recovering from Panama's third lockdown. The last time we were talking, I believe we were in the middle of lockdown number three in October, November 23, where the nation was in revolt because of a mine that the globalist entities had control over, and they were illegally taking control of Panama. And the Panamanians revolted until the Supreme Court of the land finally, under pressure, said that the mining contract was invalid, and they shut the mine down. That mine was owned partially by China, Raytheon, BlackRock, and a host of other little globalist entities.
Wow. You know, it's interesting. You said that. I think those are the same groups that are going over and buying up Ukrainian farmland now.
They sure are. They're buying the entire world up. And I'm really excited about tonight, because if you don't mind, I do want to spend a moment of time on the global financial markets. As you know, our primary reason of being in Panama is to feed widows and orphans. And we do that through farming and dehydration. And that's our day job. But you also know that I trade markets, and our students have been learning, and we've been looking at the charts, and it is unbelievable what we're seeing. I believe tonight I'm going to share some things with your folks that they have never, ever heard before. Probably won't be the last time you hear it. I think I'm going to give you some real bombshell information concerning the global markets.
Get ready to go in just a second. I think we got Brother Ralph patched in. Brother Ralph, let's do a sound check.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm here.
Welcome aboard. I got you in with Dr. Daniel. Okay, fantastic.
I don't like to stay for the whole call, but I'll be here for some of it.
Okay, perfect. With that, Dr. Daniel, I'm going to give it over to you.
Okay, Ralph, it's good to have you on board. Glad to have you with us tonight, all the way from Canada.
Yes, sir. Nova Scotia, the land of lobsters.
That's right. High-priced lobsters. We'll put it at that right now. Well, thanks for giving me the floor here for just a moment. If you don't mind, I'd like to just head down this. It's not a rabbit trail. It's a really important trail for us. We were talking about Panama's last shutdown, where the people revolted. They really didn't know what they were doing in their revolt. And they seem to have won. However, we see clearly that this big mine that they were revolting against, that's in Panama, owned by a Canadian company, which by chance happens to be owned by Raytheon, BlackRock, and China, and others, this mining company is playing 3D chess while Panamanians were playing checkers. And so Panamanians thought they won this deal, but they're going to lose in the end. And those with just a little bit of insight can see it all day long that Panama is in deep trouble for what they have just done. They just played right into the globalists' hands. And, of course, everyone wants the Panama Canal and the coffee. Mostly the canal, but so that is where we've just come out of, and Panama is still reeling from the effects of that 6-week national shutdown, which almost bankrupted farmers, truckers, grocery, all of the industries in Panama just about buckled and folded during this last shutdown, the third since COVID, and another threatening on the horizon right now, another shutdown. That's just how Panamanians deal with things. They shut down the country in order to get the government's attention. That is the way that happens. But what I'd like to come off of this with, as you all know, or you may know, that we trade the markets. I've traded the markets for 21 years, and I train students how to see what I see and how to technically trade what we call the rhythm of God. We were just going over tonight, even with the charts, and I want to tell you that before I get into the technical charting of gold, silver, US dollar, crypto, all of these financial instruments, I want to tell you that what has happened clearly on paper is that we have split the financial world in two. There are two separate financial worlds in operation right now as we speak. This is split in two, and anyone who knows charting can see it plain and clear. I'd just like to encourage you right now, no matter who you are, go out to tradingview.com. Just go out to tradingview.com. There is a free charting service. You don't have to pay for it, but it will show almost any stock, any ETF, any crypto, any currency. You can dial it in and it will show you a 10-minute chart, a daily, a weekly, a monthly chart. What do you want to see? It's an awesome charting service. So we can just start right there, and I'll show you a couple things that I will be looking at. But we have split the world's economy in two, and the world's economy is now a fake economy and a real economy. And you are going to have to choose which economy you choose to live in, because the fake economy, which seems to be driving everything, those who understand reality are leaving the fake economy, and they're leaving in trillions of dollars. However, the fake economy seems to be continually propped up, and it's strengthening because they're printing fake money into oblivion, and they're making it look really good, putting a lot of window dressing on. Now, I saw it was a cartoon of Moses years ago put on by Disney, and I just loved that cartoon. I wish we were televised right now just so you could see the cartoon. Go out to YouTube and look it up. Pharaoh's magicians were speaking to to Moses. Moses had come in and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Boys," and the magicians came in and started shouting out all of their incantations, and they sang a song saying, "You're playing with the big boys now." And they began creating. Moses had his staff that turned into a snake, and they took their staff and turned it into a snake, and they started playing and dancing and doing all kinds of incantations, and it looked awesome. It was an awesome show, and that is exactly where we're at today. Pharaoh's magicians have created a global economy that is going to suck anyone in that does not stand for truth, that does not know the truth, and who has an affinity for walking in the lie. They're going to embrace and swallow this fake economy whole. It's like turning over your reality to an alternate reality and letting the alt reality control you. We all know they're going for digital currency. They're going to try to restrict your movements. Who's they? Pharaoh and his magicians. That's who. They're moving to trick you into their economy. The reason I say that now, if you are at tradingview.com, I would like for you to just dial in up in the left-hand corner. It says symbol search. You could just put in DXY, DXY, which is the U.S. dollar index, U.S. dollar index. And right beside DXY, you can see here it says, it may say D for daily, W for weekly. Encourage you just to put in a hit it and go down to a month. Put a monthly chart in there because we just want to go for the big picture. And if you look at the dollar index, this is the index that shows how is the dollar in strength against all other currencies in the world. What is the strength of the U.S. dollar? Well, back in 1985, the U.S. dollar was at its all-time high. It's called 164, all-time high. And it's gone up and down, but one thing you'll notice, if you don't know anything about charting or this term, look up the word cup and handle. The cup and handle is a technical term that when a cup and a handle has formed on a chart, it has a target above, which is a 100% move target above. The U.S. dollar is cupping and handling right now on the monthly chart. It's actually, over the last 4 months, you will see four green candles. What does that mean? The U.S. dollar has been getting stronger over the last 4 months. How can that be? Bitcoin to the moon. Gold to the moon. Silver to the moon. Everything's going up, including your fuel, your food, your housing. Everything that costs dollars or whatever currency you're using is going up. The currencies are getting weaker. I'll just say this briefly, that bread, milk, and eggs is not getting more expensive or more valuable. It carries the same value. It just takes more worthless currency dollars to buy the same true value. The real world is the bread, milk, and the eggs. The fake world is what you're using to buy the bread, milk, and eggs with. The real world is gold, silver, commodities, oil, whatever, mining minerals, or Bitcoin. Those are commodities, and that's the real world. The fake world is the money that we're using to buy them with. So the dollar's has been going up for four straight months. Yet things are getting more expensive by the day. How does that happen? You're in Pharaoh's world when you're looking at this chart. Pharaoh has the plans. I'm going to tell you right now, this is bombshell. Then this is crazy sounding, what I'm going to tell you. Where I'm looking right now at the cup and handle targets. The next cup and handle, which the top of the cup starts in October 2001 and comes all the way up. If this cup and handle completes, the next target for the U.S. dollar is 172, all-time high. That's where it's headed. It's cupping and handling right now. And you can see smaller ones happening all through the years. 172. That means that the U.S. dollar is going to become approximately twice as strong as it has been over the last 10 years. Twice as strong. How does that work when your fuel is going up, your housing is exploding? And why is housing exploding? Because all those two-by-fours inside that home are worth more worthless dollars than they were a few years ago. It takes more worthless currency to buy the same two-by-four, the same concrete, the blocks, the flooring, everything that's in that house. The house is not getting more valuable. The house is responding to the true price of Pharaoh's currency. So this looks really good. As a matter of fact, if you like to trade currencies and you like to trade fake paper, you're probably going to see this currently 105 probably hit 170. It's going to be a miracle. Now, there's going to be a lot of pain on the streets, a lot of homeless people. There's going to be a whole lot of middle class dropped to poor and saying, well, if the dollar is so strong, why am I so poor? Exactly. Because you're playing with the big boys now. And Pharaoh is trapping the whole world into his fake economy. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to play in this fake economy. Yes, you got to pay with dollars to put in a tank of gas and get to work, buy your groceries right now. But you can start putting into God's economy. You could put your future in God's economy. Gold, silver, crypto, things that are going boom in this world right now. So hopefully you looked at that. I also just want to show you, if you will dial in, let's just go to the S&P 500. Dial in up at the corner of your tradingview.com, SPX. SPX, that's the S&P 500. This is the 500 mid-cap companies, the top 500 companies in the United States. If you're still in the monthly, you can hang out monthly or weekly charts, and you will see that since the crisis of 2008, 2009, where George Bush authorized, what was it, $660 billion, $800 billion or something to bail out the country, from that crisis, it has been boom time, and Pharaoh has been building an economy of paper value. Actually, what you're looking at, if you can see, the low of the absolute low of, let me find the date, and that would be March 2nd, I believe, March of 2009, the low of the S&P 500, guess what that low was? It was 666. It was 666. For what it's worth, that was the low. And from that low, boom, we're now up over 5,000. We've been as high as 5264. Do you know that this is also a cup and handle program? If you're into cup and handles, you can see from January 22 till now, we've just completed a cup and a handle, and we're off to hitting the next target, which is 5800, more or less. The stock market is going up, up, up. Why? Because you're buying brick and mortar structures. You're buying Microsoft. You're buying whatever these companies are. And these companies are all they're all true hard assets. And so you have to bring more worthless Pharaoh's magicians money to buy more of this. That's why they're going up, up, up. Now, everyone seems to be saying the stock market's going to crash. It's not crashing. It's crashing up. Gold and silver are crashing up. Bitcoin crashing up. And even the dollar is crashing up. Why? Because of two economies. This brings us to the understanding that this shows me exactly what the devil is doing, what Satan is doing to deceive the entire world into his system, which God will take this paper system out in a moment. Now, probably not for a while, but he can take this thing out in one moment. With one flash fire sale, the paper burns. And he who is in the real world, as a matter of fact, we know the earth is going to burn. In the end times, God always deals with fire. And when fire hits this crazy Pharaoh's magician world, it's gone. And those who are living in the ark, those who are living in truth and in reality, literally, your finances, your future is going to be saved because it will not be affected by the fire that's coming against Pharaoh's fake kingdom. I'll give it a break for just a second. Any comments?
Brother Ralph.
Hey, Dan, just to kind of put it in perspective, you were talking about the dollar and stuff going up and up and up. Our fuel, where I am in Nova Scotia, Canada, our regular grade fuel just hit $8.15 a gallon.
Wow.
A pound of butter is $9. A two-bedroom apartment, not a great one, is $2,700 a month. I just talked to somebody yesterday who rented a three-bedroom home, fairly nice home, $6,500 a month they're paying for it.
Wow.
Good grief.
And that is an exact reflection of the very thing that you're talking about.
Yes. And so if I don't know Jesus, and if I don't know truth, and if I don't understand, if I'm not brought into the real economy, all I can do is sell my soul deeper into the fake economy, trying to stay caught up. I'll do what you tell me to do. I can't afford to lose my job. I mean, my rent payment's $6,000 a month. And if I remember right, you can't spend more than 35% of your income on rent, right? And still be in the credit market. So I need to be making $18,000 a month in order to afford a $6,000 payment. I have to sell my soul deeper into Pharaoh's kingdom, watch that credit score, and I've got to jump through their hoops. What did you say? Vax me? You got it. I can't afford to lose my job. What did you say? 15-minute city? Okay, tell me where to buy the bike. You know, so absolutely, we are being, not we, but the world is being set up to bend over and be totally enslaved by Pharaoh in this move that he's moving us into.
I heard a statistic that said over half of Americans do not have $1,000 cash on hand for any type of emergency. So this country's in dire straits. Now, that is interesting. I would fully have expected the dollar to be crashing, but shows you that I need to learn a thing or two about economics. Now, I had a hard drive I was going to purchase this week. I priced it. And what was interesting is the Indonesian guy said that price is subject to change because the dollar is up. And I thought, the dollar is up? I thought it was crashing. let me ask you this question. Clearly, the dollar, we know, has no future,
right?
And they want to eliminate it, meaning the globalist. I've seen videos of people not even able to take cash out of their own bank accounts, and one guy said, "Look, I need $3,000. I'm going to go buy a car from a friend." And the video on YouTube playing is they said, "We don't have it. We're not going to give it to you, not today." So it's very confusing out there. At the same time, I do see crypto markets going up. Gold and silver is definitely going up. What would be your advice to people that are cash-strapped right now?
Yes, that is a great question. And what we are doing, we must, number one, trust God. We know that God will make a way. Where there seems to be no way, if you're one of those people that has less than $1,000 to cover an emergency, and we know that your out of pocket on your insurance is $5,000, you're in trouble, and you're floating on a wing and a prayer. You're praying every day that nothing goes wrong, the car doesn't break, the motor doesn't blow, whatever. Understand this: God will make a way. Isaiah 43:16. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I will make a way for you. And so right now, this is the time to draw near to Jesus, get your spiritual house in order, and then I would say surround yourself with sons of Issachar. Many would say, what in the world is that? Issachar was one of the 12 tribes that surrounded David when it was time for David to be king. David represented Jesus. Those 12 tribes all had different virtues. Some of them were mighty men of valor, and they had 400,000 fighting soldiers. Well, the sons of Issachar says, let me find the scripture here, in 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under the command. There was only 200 of them. Not 40,000, not 600,000 fighting men. There was 200 of those boys in that little tribe. But they knew two things. Number one, they understood the times, and they knew what to do about it. Now, one thing that halfway drives me crazy, especially through these years, is that I know a lot of people that know they understand the times, but they don't know what to do about it. They have no clue what to do. So we need to get around and surround ourselves. First, identify where are the sons of Issachar who can speak a positive, moving forward word into our lives. I'm not talking about just a feel-good, scratch-your-back word. I'm talking about something that the Holy Spirit is speaking through and that will literally move you into position. It'll move you into building an ark of safety. It will move you into the land of Goshen. It will move you where you need to be during these extraordinary times. So that's the overview. Get things together with Jesus and get close to men and women who know what to do. And I'll tell you, one of the best ways I know that you can get close to the sons of Issachar, and that is to stay logged in to Omega Man Radio. The plethora of great ministry and people that you have on your program, they are giving a well-rounded out view with a lot of information on exactly what to do, where to be.
Now,
let me ask you about
another class of people. Okay, clearly America is the most prosperous nation in the world. And if half of Americans don't have a grand set aside for an emergency, imagine what the rest of the world is going through. Hunger in Nigeria right now, starvation going on, no food. That being said, though, some people are just unwise. And maybe this is the wake-up call they needed. And they need to downsize. And let's say they're able to rearrange some things, liquidate some things, free up some cash, okay, get their financial house in order. What do they do with this cash? Clearly, the cash is worthless going forward. What would be the best thing to do? Maybe they can't afford gold. Do you recommend silver at this time or put it into Bitcoin?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you what I'm doing, because I'm not allowed to make recommendations. I'm not a certified recommender.
Fair enough.
Right? But first of all, yes, this is the time to get lean and mean. Get rid of the extra third car, the second boat, and the fourth vacation home. If I'm speaking to you, you need to peel those off while the prices are high. And while times are good enough and people haven't woke up yet to the fact that your boat is only worth one-fourth of what you think it's worth or what they think it's worth today. So this is the time to trim back again, lean and mean. Extrapolate cash and value, and then get it out of cash as fast as you possibly can. I would never say for myself, I will never buy the top of anything. I always wait for a pullback. Bitcoin, if you are in tradingview.com, you can go to BTCUSD, and it will show you a chart of Bitcoin and where it's at. Just a little over a year ago, you could have picked Bitcoin up for $25,000. That was our number that told us, jump in now, 25. It then proceeded over $73,000, and we pulled ours off and in trading. We know how to trade these markets with low risk and high probability. So we pulled off as the thing broke a new high at right around 70,000. We pulled off, and here it came tumbling back again. Our last purchase was last week. We bought right at $60,000, not 60,001. We bought 60,000. It reached down, touched our orders, and took off again. Right now, 66,700. And we have a good chance of that 60,000 being the low for the season. Who knows? The next target for Bitcoin in the cup and handle season is the next one is 120,000. That's the next target for Bitcoin.
I've got a couple questions.
Do you buy Bitcoin right now at 66? That's high risk. We always recommend waiting patiently for a pullback, because they will come. Everything pulls back. Everything. Patience. Don't buy the top, because you're buying a lot of pain. Wait till you get a good pullback.
A couple specific questions about Bitcoin, but I'm going to hold them for a minute and defer to Brother Ralph. Ralph, inject anything you'd like to.
Yeah, I listened to Dan. Over to you, Dan.
Okay, so I was watching crypto. Bitcoin hit over 72 grand. It may have went higher, I forget, within the last couple weeks. We were approaching the halving, and it was going up. And then all of a sudden, Iran lobbed those missiles over to Israel, and people began to knee-jerk, and all of a sudden it began to drop. Now, that really told me, Brother Dan, that as much as people want to say they're in it for a number of reasons, a utility or this or that, if you really believe that, then why the hell would you sell Bitcoin and jump back into dollar? Tells me there's nothing but a bunch of speculators out there. And, you know, if that's what they're in it for, so be it. I'm all for making money, and clearly I think it's one of the greatest opportunities to make money with is crypto. However, that really got me worried, because while you would think that people would realize you don't want to be in fiat, that's exactly what many did, and they tanked the market, and then it jumped on down into the 60s range. So my question to you is, you know, if we've already seen what people do with one volley of rockets, and I don't think war is anywhere about to end, how is Bitcoin for going up again when every time someone exchanges a volley of rockets, people seem to jump out of the market? Therefore, what do you think is a safe level to buy in at? Also taking into account the Bitcoin halving has just taken place.
Sure.
What would you do at this point? Where are we at today, around 63, 64?
First, I would teach this principle first. If you happen to be looking at a Bitcoin chart right now, you might see candles or something. I used big Japanese candlesticks. Those candlesticks are not formed by little people like you and me. Those candlesticks are only formed by huge institutional money, the big boys, the billionaires. We call them the giants. I'm a giant tracker. I track the big guys. They're the ones that make the candles. So, and they don't think the way you and I think. As a matter of fact, they have a whole set of rules that we don't have. And they have they think differently. They operate differently. They have access to the bat phone. Remember the bat phone? They can call. They know the volley of rockets. Is it World War III or no? The bat phone says, "Hey, don't worry about it." You know. So they know in advance everything going on around the world to a great degree. These are the multi-billion dollar players. that make those candles. So when we see something, let's say fundamental, oh, fundamentally, we're going to war and the markets keep going up. What is that about? What that's about is the big boys know that we're not going to war. The story is that we are, to put the people in fear and run them down the sheep pen. But the fact is that the giants know it's not wartime yet. We'll know when it's wartime when the charts show that it's wartime. So what these boys did after a $50,000 run up, they took some profits and sold it back down, and then they bought it cheaper again. We use Fibonacci to know where all of the computer algorithms buy in at. They buy in at the 38, the 50% off, and the 62% off zone. You can pull a Fibonacci line on that TradingView chart if you want, or any charting service. And those are the general numbers that the computer algorithms move when they're buying and selling faster than you and I can do it.
Makes sense.
So that's the first thing I would say.
Is they dumped it.
That those candlesticks are made by the big boys,
and then
not
bought back
by you and I.
And then at the end of the day, they've got more Bitcoin than when they started. I mean, that's a great tactic. What do you think about the effects on Bitcoin from the announcement of these, is it the Hong Kong EFTs?
You know, the good news is I'm out here farming all day, so I didn't even hear about the Hong Kong ETFs, but...
If there's
an ETF out there from Hong Kong, it's baked into these charts. The big boys already know that. They're the analysts that figure all of that in. All I have to do is track the big guy, get in his pocket, and ride with him.
Okay,
that's what
we do.
Let
me ask you a question I've never asked before. I'm familiar with the term swing trading, and you've been trading for a long time. What is your opinion on crypto scalping? Are you familiar with the term scalping?
Sure.
I understand it,
so,
how would you define scalping for those that have not heard that term?
Three types of trading is day trading, and that would be scalping. We're only in for a small move, 5 minutes to 5 hours. And we're just going to scalp a little bit here or there. Next is swing trading, which is 1 to 10 days. I'm going to enter a trade and hope to be out within 10 days. The next is position trading, and that would be anywhere from a month to, 1 to 24 months.
Now, I'm not
position
saying
trade.
It's set without risk, but I've seen coins some years ago, like Litecoin, and they were fluxing several dollars up and down during a day. So if you had enough cash behind you, you could go in, let's say, buy 100 Bitcoins and make $100 to $200 per trade and do it several times a day and make $1,000 in a day doing these little crypto scalping. Do you think that's a viable way to trade? And if so, do you have any advice on how to identify coins that might be suitable for crypto scalping?
I don't personally see scalping in the crypto world. Within my parameters of I use Coinbase. I use Coinbase Pro in order to do my trades. But in order to take a trade, if I want to buy a Bitcoin, it could cost me hundreds of dollars to buy that Bitcoin. And so if I'm trying to just scalp and I want to make 100, but it costs me 100 to enter the trade, I just handed all the cash to the broker that I hope to make. And if I happen to lose that trade, he still got paid, and I lost money after paying him. So the broker is known in all traders' lives to make you broker. And so you got to really watch those fees, the entry and exit fees. And if you're going to play that in a scalping world, you're probably going to have to go to a non-regulated broker. Someone out there that could disappear overnight, their website's down, and you say, "Where did my Bitcoin go?" And that happens all the time. There's a lot of those non-regulated. They offer low entry and exit fees, but They're not regulated, and no one's going to prison if they shut the thing down and turn the lights off and take your money.
Now, what's your opinion of some of the gains that have been made here recently in some of these meme coins? Very risky, of course, but do you ever speculate in memes? I heard some people made a lot of money.
I do not. I don't, just because I don't have time to do it. I trade. I might be out on a tractor, and I'm trading on my phone, just using a chart on my phone. And I trade a lot of different markets. But, no, I don't know a lot about the meme coins. But the good news with our type of trading is if it's moving, we can track it and trade it. So it doesn't matter if it's a meme or if it's a Bitcoin or if it's a, you know, if it's gold itself. We can track it if it's moving. And so I wouldn't have any problem trading a meme coin if I have a solid trading system in place. Anything that moves, that can be tracked, you can trade it. You can trade the rhythm of God in it, and you can see greed and fear, and you can find the big boys. You see it all in those charts. It's all baked in there. So I wouldn't have a problem with trading anything if I have a winning system that's secure.
Let me take
so
you.
Bring those meme coins on. If you can, if you see a move getting ready to happen, jump it. It's just as valid of a move as sure. The S&P 500 getting ready to move.
Absolutely. What do you think about MicroStrategy stock? The dude who's got all of his money in Bitcoin. I forget his name right off the top of my head. Are you familiar with that?
Was that Michael Saylor?
That's it. I wonder if his stock would be something to look at.
Let me just look here. MicroStrategy, it's MSTR, and he has been in a rip straight up in the air, and he right now is in a pullback. So 1338, a couple of years ago you could have bought him for $350. It's now $1,338 with a high of $2,000. So we got almost a $700 pullback right now on his stock that is ripping upwards. And on a monthly chart, there is nothing broken, no support broken. It is on a rip. So the next target is to break 2,000, as long as something goofy doesn't happen on this chart.
Let me take you back over to Panama now. What is the state of the situation there in Panama on the ground at this juncture?
Okay. I mentioned the mine. The mine is... is shouting out its woes that it's been closed and not allowed to, not allowed to mine or sell any of the materials out of Panama. And so what has happened now, the mine has filed an international lawsuit against Panama. And because Panama initially signed this contract and said, hey, you got 10 years, 20 years, and they made billions of investment, they're going to win this lawsuit against Panama. And when they do, they're going to demand all damages paid and all of our investments given back to us because you reneged on the contract we signed, citing a Supreme Court problem. That's not our problem. That's your problem. You owe us billions. And Panama will not be able to pay that. So what the mine will probably say, oh, by the way, Raytheon, BlackRock, China, they're probably going to say, how about this? Why don't we just take the canal as payment?
Oh, boy.
And Panama's in deep trouble. We don't have the money to pay it. So that's why Panama's playing checkers, and these boys lost on purpose. In order to seize the most important Latin American nation, in Latin America. So that's my opinion. That's going to take a few years to flesh out. Let's see what happens as we head into this critical 2030 agenda time frame. We also have a presidential election coming up in a couple of weeks. The next president, there's seven candidates. No one knows who's going to win. But all seven are globalists, and they're all committed to making sure that Agenda 2030 is on track and on target for Panama. So the next five-year president will be assigned the duty to shut Panama agriculture down and to do something with all of the people that are going to be affected. That's going to be quite a rock and roll scenario.
What are you seeing in terms of illegal immigrants coming through the Darien Gap? And they, of course, had to go through Panama and Costa Rica, right? Work their way up to Mexico. Are you seeing a big cavalcade of illegals coming up through Panama is my question.
Yeah. My personal friends are out in the Darien right in the middle of all of this. And the reporters that you may see reporting from Michael Yon to Ann Vandersteel and all of these people, they're just telling the truth. They're telling the truth exactly what's happening. All my friends are telling the same story. There's at least 10,000 a day coming through the Darien. There's a whole lot more happening than what we hear. Most of us are concerned about why are they coming up in the U.S., Chinese fighting military-aged men with no ladies in the groups, just men coming up. Lots of groups coming up. But what you may not hear is they're destroying and ravaging, they're deforesting the Darien Gap. Right, or the whole Darien area right now. They're destroying it. And once the immigration deal is done and whoever is doing it is finished with the Darien, it is going to lay waste for 50 years, totally destroyed. The tribes, which right now they're playing into it, the tribes there are making $50 a day selling Coca-Colas and bags of chips, and they're thrilled. Sure. That their families are making money now for the first time, but they're destroying their land. That is a really huge deal, which brings us into the Panama Canal drying up problem, which is a Darien Gap deforestation problem. And the Panama Canal is down to half right now. Boats are waiting up to 6 months in the harbor, waiting to get through the canal because they're waiting on water to show up so they can move these ships.
Good grief.
It's incredible what's going on.
Six-month queue. Is there also another digging project, or what's the status on that? I heard that even the present canal was not big enough for some of the new ships out there. Is there another canal being dug?
It is finished, and it holds the super tankers, and it's also part of the why are we out of water? They didn't quite figure that in correctly, my understanding. So we have two canals now, one for the super tankers. Just last month, I can't remember which company it was. They paid $8 million to put their ship at the front of the queue to get them through instead of waiting 6 months. And so you can buy your way into the canal, into the front of the line with millions of extra dollars. A lot of trouble here in the canal. We're going to see ramifications of that. Other nations are threatening to build canals. Dry canals, wet canals, and of course, the globalists want Panama, and they want this canal. So, meanwhile, we have, immigrants coming through like crazy. They're not stopping in Panama. I do kind of worry about, in this little nation of 4 million people, the day that someone stops the migration from happening, Where does the extra 250,000 Chinese fighting military men, where do they go when they're stopped and not allowed to exit Panama?
Good
so
question.
That's just a little side thought for us all.
Lord have mercy. Of course, to facilitate all this, you had to have Mexican cartels. So we know they're in Panama. They're everywhere.
Yes.
You know, this is a travesty that the Panamanian government, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Mexico, and above all, the American government are doing nothing, and we're being invaded every day by 10,000 new people. Some 10 million in legals have come through.
Corruption is everywhere from the heart. And yes, corruption's at the top, but corruption goes all the way through the hearts of men, sir. And you know this. But the last lockdown in October, I got out of my truck. There's a whole party of people. They've shut the highway down. We have a truckload of vegetables that has got only hours to get to the market. And they've locked it down. There were doctors there, attorneys, all kinds of people. I walked up to them and I said, look, guys, why are you destroying your countrymen with this roadblock? Why don't you go circle the presidential palace and don't let anyone in or out? You'll have it done in 48 hours. Why are you dealing over here? They're just laughing at you. The government is laughing at you because you're not touching them. You're touching us. You're destroying us. Well, a bunch of us were saying that, and they finally said, you know what? They're right. We got to stop this. We're destroying ourselves. Well, in the same way that that they were doing that, I could buy my way through that line. I could go up and say, hey, look, here's $20. Let me through. They would pull the barricade back and let Daniel Daves through for $20. And that is just as corrupt as the guy at the top letting the migrants through the Darien Gap for however much he's getting paid. It Absolutely. Runs from the top to the bottom through the hearts of men. And the problem is, as we know, they do not have Christ, and they don't have the spirit of truth in them, and so they've sold out to the devil and for the love of money.
God have mercy. What's your sentiments regarding another lockdown, a fourth lockdown in Panama? Do you think that the globalists will be able to pull it off again, or are people wisened up to their tactics? What's your thoughts right now?
No, well, no, they will, because the tribes that locked us down in October, November, we've all found out they were all being paid $25 a day to stand out there by external entities. We don't know exactly who, but we would imagine they're Soros related. So for $25 a day, you can buy an indigenous. You need 100 of them, $2,500 a day, and you just lock the whole country down for $2,500 a day. It doesn't cost much to buy Panama or any other Latin American nation. We have just a few senators. Hand each of them $1 million and a vacation house in
Barbados.
name your nation, and you own the nation. You own the country. So, so many have sold out for the love of money. They've sold out their countries, sold out their countrymen. They've sold out Christ. They've sold out truth, and it's the love of money or the fear of retribution if they don't go along. So, yes, there is another lockdown potential coming very, very quickly for other non-related issues. Government is not paying the doctors, the teachers, they haven't provided the roads promised to the indigenous and things like that. And so there's a threat just any day they could shut it down again, and it would be indefinite until the government comes through with their former promises. If that happens, all it takes, you pay a guy $25 a day, he's out on that road. He doesn't have to work. They give him free food all day long and a $25 check, and he'll stand anywhere you want him to stand. And that is just the way it is in Latin America.
We've got about 6 minutes
remaining.
Dan,
you're talking about fear.
Dan, go ahead.
Let me jump in here for a second.
Yes.
Dan, you're talking about fear of retribution. Here's the other part, and I'm with a pastor friend of mine tonight. We're just talking about this. Here's the other problem with this, okay? There's fear of retribution. What there is none of is fear of God, godly fear.
Yes.
And you will go back in the New Testament, and you and I have talked about this numerous times. One of the first things that happened in the New Testament, at the formation of the New Testament church, is two people dropped dead over an offering. Shortly thereafter, a sorcerer was blind, and right after that, a king who challenged the Lord was eaten alive with worms. And tell me that fear did not cause the church to virtually explode, never mind everything else. So what's lacking here is the church is not stepping over into the anointing it's supposed to be stepping over with. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this position, and I'll leave it at that.
Great point, Ralph.
No question about it. We've got large groups coming together and bringing in male strippers, licking swords, deep-throating the sword, and then shimming up and dancing around a stripper pole. John Lindell, I'm talking about him. I'm talking about the Assemblies of God. This is an abomination going on. Mark Driscoll was right to call out. However, it's not Jezebel. It's a homosexual spirit that's infiltrating the church.
Yeah, but Shannon, I got a question. You're missing the point. Are they collecting their tithe?
Good question. They said they had an altar call and had success. I don't know what those people came up to receive. Was it a stripper anointing? I don't know. How are you going to win people for Christ in that kind of situation?
And how are you going to get them out of this fake Pharaoh economy that's been built to enslave them? How are you going to get them out of that unless the anointing opens their eyes, breaks the yoke? How is that going to happen? It's not going to happen. Much of the church is going to go into very hard times, suffering, and right down the rabbit hole with the rest of the world if they don't get their lives right quickly and get spiritually ready, as we've said in the beginning of this program. Wow. Well, God, we do know this. For those who are faithful, the remnant, those who say, I will not bow, I will not, I know what the truth is, I will not bow to it. God says, I opened a way through the waters, I made a dry path through the seas, I will make a way for you. He also always promises, when he begins to deal with Pharaoh, with the world, he will move you to a place called Goshen, where none of the plagues will strike you. He will also teach you to build an ark of safety, like the pattern Noah did. And he will tell you when to load it and when to get in it. He's faithful, and he will do that. We just need to continue to pledge our loyalty and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And he will do it. And there will be those who see you walking in faith. And sometimes faith isn't just raising your hands and believing God that your car is going to run another day. Faith is walking sometimes through the fire. Through how many people, how many wonderful Christian people gave up their jobs, gave up everything to say no to Pharaoh when he said, you're taking the jab or you're losing everything. And they said, lose it all. I'm not submitting. Praise God. And
amen.
Now their lives are coming back and they're being restored and recovered. God will restore. He will recover. And even as the globalists they're circling the world. They're attempting to prepare a sheep pen for the whole world to go in. Yes, you may have to make tough decisions that don't look naturally. That could look like a death sentence in the natural, but God is faithful. He will make a way. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. It springs forth. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, and I'll make rivers in the desert for you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Brother Daniel, Brother Ralph, I want to thank you for tuning in today and joining us. Tell us about your global food program. And to give out your contact information there. How do people reach you?
Well, I'll tell you what, globalfoodproviders.com. You will see everything that we're doing. We're actually inviting interns in now. We have a powerful intern program where we lay everything out on the line that we know, from the secrets of farming, setting up children's feeding programs, how to fund them, how to fund see all that right on globalfoodproviders.com, the intern program, and all the things we're doing. We just want to invite you to come, get connected, and let's work together to feed the world. And the world starts with your relationship base, those around you. The Lord spoke to me years ago, to seize control of food at the root level. Do not wait for the grocery store to bring it to you every day. It's time to seize control now. The grocery stores are the last of the Mohicans. They're the last ones to get the food. You need to know the farmer. You may need to become the farmer. You need to know the distribution, and you need to know how to make it happen. So that is globalfoodproviders.com. You can find us there. We're out on Facebook as well, and Instagram, and all those social media platforms. Hundreds of videos on YouTube under Global Food Providers that teach you how we create our own fertilizers. We're off the grid. We don't need the corporate fertilizer companies. We use rabbits, chickens, and compost, and we get everything done through that. We also have a dehydration center. We'll teach you how to dehydrate from your desktop all the way up to a 40-foot container. We'll show you how to dehydrate for thousands of people. For when their day comes and they're in need, you can use food that can be saved for up to a year rather than the food being discarded because it's going bad. Those are a few of the things you can do to find us, and we look forward to meeting up with you. Please, just plan to come to Panama sometime. Interns, we have an intern program. It's a 30-day program. We have one in June and one in July coming up. It's cheap. We have everything you need. Once you land here, it's all-inclusive. Everything is done for you for 30 days. And you'll be involved in ministry, feeding kids, traveling with us. You'll be involved in growing food, dehydrating, whatever that is, and do exactly the same thing.
My friend, thank you for coming on today. Thank you, Brother Ralph.
Thank you, Brother Ralph.
God bless you both.
God bless you both.